We're talking about state Supreme Court election results here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. And the race for the seat held by retiring Justice Shirley Abrahamson hasn't officially been called, although we know that Judge Brian Hagedorn declared victory early this morning around 2 a.m. Well, let's go directly now to Wisconsin Public Radio's Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson for analysis. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning.
Well, I understand you've had election numbers for breakfast. Can you tell us what we know now about this race?
Well, what we know is that it is very close. As of right now, I think the number that we're looking at is Brian Hagedorn's lead of about 5,800 votes. So in a race where there's more than 1.2 million votes cast, that's a very small lead, but a need nonetheless. And because it's so close, it offers Judge Lisa Neubauer a chance to ask for a recount in this race. It's within 1%. And so she has that option ahead of her. Her campaign sent out an email last night fundraising for the prospect of a recount, because while it is close enough to call for a recount, it looks like it might be not so close that she wouldn't have to pay to conduct it.
And so her campaign would have to pay for a recount. Do we know what type of cost that is?
I'm not sure at this point. So We just had a recount in 2016 in the presidential race. And so that gives us some idea of what a recount
Jill Stein
would cost. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so yeah. That was ordered by Jill Stein of the Green Party. She paid for it. That was actually the recount that led to the current law changes that we're under right now. This is a statewide race, so it's comparable in that way, although there were fewer votes cast than in a presidential race.
And Sean, we know that this became a very partisan race. We know that Judge Brian Hagedorn is conservative. Lisa Neubauer had liberal backing. Can you give us an overview of these campaigns leading up to yesterday's election and what we saw in terms of fundraising and position stance?
As far as positions, Lisa Neubauer was, I guess, everybody knew where these candidates were going into the race. I shouldn't say everybody. I mean, there could have been voters figuring this out as we got up to the end, because they don't officially have a Republican or Democrat after their name. But the themes that they hit on were somewhat similar in this race. Hagedorn talking about he's going to, adhere to the Constitution, rule of law, and he had Republican groups, and spending money on his behalf, including one that had a seven-figure ad buy tying his campaign and saying if you support President Trump, get out and support Brian Hagedorn. Lisa Neubauer had the backing of Eric Holder, the former U.S. Attorney General, and Eric Holder was calling her like the candidate of the people. They were attacking Democrats were attacking Judge Hagedorn for a bunch of blog posts that he wrote in 2005, where he laid out his views on, a range of social issues, calling Planned Parenthood a wicked organization, talking about a Texas court decision that struck down anti-sodomy laws there as opening the door to legalized bestiality. He came under attack for some of this stuff and for founding a Christian school in Wisconsin that had a code of conduct that banned homosexual conduct. And Hagedorn pushed back on that during this race and said that he was under attack for his Christian views and used that to rally the Republican base.
We're talking with WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson, looking at election results from last night, where we know that Judge Brian Hagedorn has declared victory, but it is a very, very close race. And, the issue, Sean, of recusal and conflicts of interest has come up in Supreme Court elections in the past. How was that raised during this campaign?
Recusal is in Wisconsin, in the Wisconsin Supreme Court. In most situations, it's up to the justice to make that decision. This is based on recusal rules that were adopted by the court over the last decade. And there really is just broad leeway for justices to make their own decisions in this race. I know it was raised with Judge Lisa Neubauer because of the support that she was getting from Eric Holder's group, the National Democratic Redistricting Commission. And so there was some question about whether if Holder's group made it before the court, would she recuse? She said she would if his group made it before the court. You know, if you're talking about other interests that spent money on this race, and some, it can be harder to trace that, you know, in some cases, especially if the groups that are spending money on these races don't disclose it. And, you know, essentially they are a name of a group, but you don't get to see their checkbook.
Let's go to Tom now, joining us from Burlington. Hi, Tom. What's on your mind?
We have in Wisconsin, we have a way of electing our judges. The whole process is completely tilted in the wrong direction. You have to have a law degree in order to run for judge, and that really tilts it that there are so many of these judges who run are unopposed because the lawyers are afraid to get up and run against a judge, and it completely tilts it. It tilts the whole thing off right from the very beginning.
Sean, what do we know about the process of electing judges in Wisconsin?
Well, I mean, they're officially nonpartisan races that does, when these races, especially Supreme Court races, roll around, you'll have people question whether that's really the way to go because the two parties kind of make clear who their choices are in these campaigns. You know, as far as whether you have to be a judge for Wisconsin Supreme Court races, you don't. Not be a judge and run for Wisconsin Supreme Court, and in fact, that has happened. What has practically happened over the past decade, especially though, is that the two parties have kind of realized that if you are not a judge, you set yourself up for a line of attack in these races that is advantageous to your opponents. You know that you don't even have any judicial experience, and here you are running for the court, and so now you see both parties, again, these are nonpartisan races, but practically speaking, both parties are putting judges up to run for these campaigns.
Sean, the state Supreme Court has had a conservative majority since 2008, and if Hagedorn prevails here, it means that the majority will continue. What would the significance of that be, particularly here in a state that's just elected a Democratic governor?
It's pretty significant because you're talking about taking away the chance for liberals to flip the court in 2020. So if Lisa Neubauer had prevailed or were to prevail in this race, it would have preserved the court's 4-3 conservative majority and set it up for a race in 2020 when conservative Justice Daniel Kelly is up for his first election. And that would have basically been a winner-take-all race where, whoever wins that race wins the ideological balance of the court. If Hagedorn ends up winning this race, then that would be a 5-2 conservative majority, which would somewhat diminish the focus on that 2020 race. It'll still be very important because there's only 7 justices and these are 10-year terms. But it would mean that it would be 2023 at the earliest before Democrats or liberals could get a majority on the court. So it's a pretty significant race.
Sean, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome.
Sean Johnson is WPR's State Capitol Bureau Chief. He's co-host of our Politics podcast. Up next, Wisconsin-based retailer Shopko will close later this year, and we'll find out how liquidation sales work and what we should keep in mind when shopping them. Back in a minute here on the Ideas Network.